Hi, we're Trey and Lee Morgan, and this is the Stronger Marriage Podcast.
Thanks for joining us.
We are glad you're here today, and we're going to talk a little bit about what to do when your marriage is struggling.
Kind of a not the most fun topic to talk about, but I think every marriage goes through seasons of struggling, and that doesn't mean you have a bad marriage. We all have times when we struggle. We have.
Yep.
So, yeah, we just want to give you some hope for those times when your marriage is struggling.
Yeah, when you're just at a spot where you're going, we could use to breathe some new life into our marriage. And what do we do and how can we do it? And so that's kind of where we're going today and kind of what we're talking about is if our marriage is struggling, what are some things that we could do?
Sure.
So let's kick it off. What's the first thing on our list that we thought of that if your marriage is struggling, you need to do?
So the very first thing is to do something.
There you go.
don't just sit there. Do something, right? Don't just expect it to get better. Don't think, well, it'll, you know, this too shall pass. Usually you've got to put some things into action.
Yeah. There's an old quote from, insanity. What is insanity? Doing the same thing the same way and expecting something to change.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who go, man, my marriage is struggling, and they just say that, and they don't ever really come out with a plan to change it. And so you can't just say my marriage is struggling or I need some breathe some new life into my marriage. That doesn't make it better. You actually have to take some steps to work out a plan, maybe to kind of have a here's the process we're going to try to see if we can make this better. Maybe even put it on paper. And what you can do is we're going to do everything we can right now to put if my marriage is just struggling, and we both know it, we're going to do everything we can to put our marriage right now ahead of everything except our relationship with God. And everything, work, hobbies, kids, everything. If my marriage is really, really bad right now, you better move that thing up to the most important thing on your list and give it some time. And unfortunately, I read recently that the average married couple waits 6 years to seek help when they've been having problems, which I don't really know why people wait that long.
Man, by that time, yeah, problems.
Set in your ways. Yeah. And I think a lot of people just, they know we have some problems. We need to work on some problems. Another year goes by and goes, maybe we need to seek some help for some problems. But it takes 6 years for a lot of couples to figure out, all right, we need some outside help.
Yeah. And in the meantime, they've just gotten worse. I mean, think problems will compound and create other problems and just, yeah. So, yeah. Put your relationship at the top of the to-do list, because chances are if you're struggling, some things have gotten in the way.
Yeah.
Whether that's, you know, raising kids or your job or just, you know, just complacency, laziness.
Yeah. What we tend to do a lot of times, what a lot of couples do is when they have some problems in their marriage, they'll refocus their energy somewhere else. It's like, well, my marriage isn't good right now, so I will focus on my job more, or I'll focus on my kids more, or I'll focus on whatever it is more, and I'll give that attention because that makes me feel good that I'm being successful with my kids or at work or whatever it is, when really what you need to focus your attention on is what can I do to make my marriage better?
Sure. So, what can you do to make your marriage better?
Well, I think first thing right off the bat is you need to seek help. You need mm-hmm. to find somebody you can talk to. Some outside help would be good. Some of you are listening to this, and that's what you're doing. You're seeking help, so you're listening to this podcast. Can I just say, well done. You need to find and research a good counselor, a good marriage coach, a minister, pastor, mentor, somebody that you can reach out to. And they really need to be somebody that is good or has some experience in this. For example, me as a man, I probably don't need to reach out to my two-time divorced buddy of mine to look for advice on my marriage. That's probably not the direction I need to go. I need to be looking for a professional counselor, coach. If you don't know where to turn on some of those, we know a couple of counselors and coaches that do online stuff. You can reach out to us and we'd be happy to share some information. But seek some help. Go see a pastor. A lot of churches provide. Somebody made a comment the other day, said divorce is expensive, but counseling is not much cheaper. And I thought, man, Health insurance covers counseling a lot of times. A lot of churches provide free counseling. You just need to do a little work and find some folks to help with some counseling. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing you can do. Give me another one.
Yes. So another thing, you mentioned it. Find some good marriage podcasts to listen to. There are others out there besides ours. And you know, it just keeps good, positive things in the forefront of your mind that you can be doing. Reading a book. Whether you do that together as a couple or just on your own, just to improve yourself. I mean, that's where good marriages start, is by improving yourself. You can't change your spouse as much as you may want to, and you may think your spouse is the problem. You know, we tend to play the blame game, and well, if they would just, and but really, when it comes right down to it, we got to fix ourselves, and that usually we'll fix some of the other problems as
sure.
well.
We have in one of our last podcasts talked about one of the things that blessed us is we read a marriage book together once a year, or try to. And we try to find a book that I'll read a chapter and set it down, and then you'll read a chapter and set it down. A day later, I'll pick it up and kind of look at what you underlined, and you'll look at what I underlined, and we'll move on. And that's blessed us. And mm-hmm. and maybe you're not ready to see a counselor. Maybe you just want to read a book, and that's a good way to do it.
Yes.
Or listen to a marriage podcast.
Yes. But as you're reading, keep in mind, you know, we have a tendency to go, well, oh, they're talking about my husband right there. He needs to work on that, you know. So my challenge to you is, when you're reading a book, focus on the things that are stepping on your toes and not pointing at your spouse.
Yeah. We get that a lot on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. If we make a post directed toward wives or husbands, and there's always somebody that'll go, hey, this goes both ways. And of course it does.
But
if every post you read about marriage, you automatically apply it to your spouse before you do yourself, you're missing something somewhere in there. So
Right. Yeah,
go to work.
Yes, go to work. Apply it to yourself. Keep in mind that all marriages have ups and downs.
Yeah, they all have struggles.
Yeah, we mentioned that at the beginning. You know, our marriage has had ups and downs. There have been times when we thought, ugh, this is too hard, you know. But everything, you know.
There's no such thing as a marriage that doesn't have peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
And too many couples stop in the valley before they've got a peak coming around a corner.
Yes.
And they give up because it just gets hard. And the hardness is really what makes you strong in your marriage, when you work through those things that are those little valleys. And so you just can't give that up. I saw a post the other day, somebody had written where they had asked a couple who had been married 60 years, what was your key? And they said, we came from a time or a generation that didn't throw things out when it got hard. We worked through it. And I thought, boy, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, we talk about that in our 10 Ways to a Stronger Marriage book, that we come from a disposable society. You know, we just throw things away and get a new one. We don't fix things anymore. You know, there used to be such things as TV repairmen, and I don't think there's any such thing anymore. You know, we don't fix our TVs.
We just throw
them out and get a new one. But that is not the case with relationships. You don't just throw them out.
Yeah.
Just because you're struggling does not mean you know that your relationship needs to end. It means it's time to get to work and make it better.
We have people that realize or think that, hey, we'll just upgrade and get a new partner, that we'll come along and kind of like a cell phone. My cell phone hadn't been working well, so I'll just upgrade it. And we think that works for relationships. Upgrades on cell phones are good. Upgrades on marriages, they're not. Mm-hmm. Most of them aren't upgrades. In fact, the divorce rate usually goes up every time a second marriage, a third mm-hmm. marriage. And so the point simply is, put in the effort to try to fix it instead of just replacing it. Are there times where marriages end in divorce? Absolutely. Are there times, can I just say, are there times to get out of a marriage? There are times when, if you're being abused physically, you need to get out of a house. Don't even think about divorce right now. Just think about, where can I go to get out? If you're being physically abused, if there's emotional abuse, severe emotional abuse, you need to seek help and try to figure out, what can I do? If there is unfaithfulness, or if there is multiple times of unfaithfulness, you need to consider, we're not saying get out. What we're saying is, do I need to fix this? But the point is you, just because you've bumped a bump in the road at one time doesn't mean it's time to bail out on a marriage. Spend some time working on these. But we also know that there are some times that marriages do end, and yes, we want you to understand that as well.
Yes.
Another thing you can do is start doing some things you did back when you fell in love. You know, you fell in love with each other because there were some certain things you did. So if you started doing those things again, it would cause you to fall in love again or to reconnect. Sometimes in marriage counseling, and folks come in and they go, we just don't feel it anymore. And we go, well, what made you fall in love with your husband or with your wife to start with? And they start reminiscing about, well, he used to take me on dates and we'd love our date nights, or he'd send me flowers, or she just seems like she was always flirting with me or bragging on me. And it reminds them, those are the things you should still all be doing. You should be doing all of those things.
Yeah. You know, that's why we preach over and over and over and over how important date night is. You know, going on dates, whether they're fancy or simple, keep dating. Keep, you know, that's what you did before you got married. That's what you need to keep doing. Do those things that are romantic. Do those things that are fun. But yeah, keep the spark alive. And if the spark has died out, figure out how to reignite it by doing some of those things that you used to do.
Man, our book, 10 Ways to a Stronger Marriage, is packed full of ideas.
It is.
If you haven't read it, that is a must read on your list. Get it.
You think we're doing this to plug our book today, but no. Yeah, I just keep thinking we've talked about all of these things we have in that book. So another thing that's really important to do is to remember that your spouse is your teammate and not your enemy.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, your spouse is your teammate, not your enemy. Like I said, it's really easy to point fingers and say, you know, well, it's all their fault. If they would just do this better, if they would do this different, if they didn't do this, but they're your teammate and you're, you know, you're in this together. So yeah, make your spouse's happiness important to you. Start thinking, what can I do to bless my spouse? And you may be in a place where they're driving you crazy and you feel like they're the problem and you're thinking, that's the last thing I want to do is something nice for them. But I'll tell you, once you start doing some things for your spouse, they're going to start reciprocating that.
Yeah, that's generally the case. That's usually the way it works. And most of the time, a lot of couples that are kind of stuck in a rough spot in marriage sit there and they go, I'm not going to until they start doing this. And the best thing you can do is pick up your oar in your little boat and let's go to work and let's start paddling, because that's what's going to help fix some stuff.
Yeah.
And so you can inspire your spouse. We talked about this in a podcast one time we did called One-Sided Marriages, because couples write to us all the time and go, well, I'm the only one putting out any effort. And they go, when should I quit? And we go, we don't think you should. We think you should actually step it up and put out more for a little while, because what you're going to do is your spouse is going to catch on at some point and go, man, they are good to me and I need to do the same. That works so many times.
Yeah. If your marriage is struggling, you are likely in a stalemate, what we call a stalemate, where you're saying, well, I'm not going to do anything for them until they start doing something for me. And at some point, one of you has to step up and actually do something for the other person. And it may take, you know, it may take several days. It may take several weeks before they realize, hey, they're really going out of their way to serve me or to whatever. And they will start reciprocating that.
That's just how.
Work on it. Your spouse is your teammate, not your enemy.
When it comes to arguing with your spouse, you're not trying to win it. You're trying to fix whatever it is. Don't be in this to try to win the
argument.
Be in this to try to fix whatever it is that's not working.
Yes. Okay. So also, we need to remember to work on our marriage all the time, and not just when we're struggling.
That is so good.
Right?
That is so good.
If we work on our marriage all the time, then we're going to have less bad times. That's sort of the goal, right?
That's spot on. Yeah. Because what we tend to do is we wait until we have problems to all of a sudden go, we got to start investing some time and money into our marriage. And if you'll just invest time and money in your marriage when things aren't going well also, or when they are going well, there'll be less bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. If you'll work on your marriage in the good times, not just the bad, there'll be less bad.
Yeah. We had a girl that reached out to us. It's been a while back, but we had done a workshop literally, you know, in her town. And about 6 weeks later, I don't know, it wasn't long. She said, when are you coming back to such and such? And we said, well, what do you mean, when are we coming back? We were just there. And she was like, well, we said, why did you not come to the workshop? And she said, well, we weren't having problems then, you know. And it's like, well, oh, you know, you just want
to. Yeah, don't wait till you're having problems to come to a workshop.
You just want to wring your hands and go, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you can't just work on your marriage when things are struggling. Work on it all the time. Mm-hmm. Invest in your marriage, not just in the hard times.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a big one.
Yes, this is important.
We talked about seeking help, which you need to do, and that's important to do, but you need to resist the urge to share your struggle with a friend in quotes, quotations, of the opposite sex.
So why is that? Why is that important that we need to, why would I not reach out to maybe somebody that's your friend to ask for advice on our relationship? Or why is it not a good idea for you to reach out to one of my buddies to talk about our marriage and our struggles?
Yeah, you just think, well, they can give me some insight into what, you know, into what my spouse must be thinking because they're such good friends. But there's
two things. There's two reasons.
Too much vulnerability there.
Number one, first, your spouse doesn't need you talking about your marriage to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Second, and more importantly, one of the huge precursors to an affair is when you start talking to someone of the opposite sex about your marriage problems. Now, and when I say precursor, meaning when they went back and studied affairs and marriages that had affairs, one thing that continually showed up over and over and over was the affair was generally with someone the couple knew that was a friend of theirs of an opposite sex that they had been sharing some struggles with in their own marriage. And they built some intimacy with that person that wasn't their spouse because they were sharing all these struggles. And before you knew it, there became a connection. And so it's just very, very unhealthy. You're headed down the wrong path if you're seeking help from someone of the opposite sex about your marriage problems. That is not a pastor, counselor, marriage coach, or something along those lines.
Yeah. Yes.
And it doesn't matter if they're married or not. All right. So be careful with that.
Yes.
Another thing that will help is we need to communicate daily. You need to be scheduling out some time every day for your spouse. The average couple gets 4 minutes a day, and that is not enough time. You're sitting there thinking already going, hey, we get a lot more than 4 minutes a day. We watched a movie together last night. That watching a movie in the same room doesn't count as 4 minutes a day. It's 4 minutes is in your face-to-face communication where you have a chance to visit with your spouse. That's you climbing in bed together and visiting before you go to bed. It's sitting down over a meal together and talking. You've got to have some talk time together.
Yes. Tell your spouse, you know, work out a plan together. Talk about, you know, what's going on in your world and all of those things. But yes, you've got to be talking and communicating. So the last thing.
Oh, and this is good. And we say this all the time.
Yes.
Statistically, not just because it's the right thing to do, but statistically it is off the charts.
Yeah. You can't argue with the statistics on this one. Pray together.
You can't. You just can't argue with the statistics, both from Christian sources and secular sources, that say couples who pray together, the divorce rate drops in those marriages under 5%.
Yes.
And that means there's something to that. There's a connection there that you're connecting to not only to God, but one another spiritually. And that is something that you need to be doing all the time, is praying with your spouse. And that may make you feel uncomfortable. And you may be going, that's a little weird for me to pray with my spouse. And that's okay. Maybe you need to get a book that will help you work through some of that. And we've got some podcast episodes where we talk about how to pray with your spouse, being spiritually intimate. And maybe we need to redo one of those in the near future.
Yep.
But it is important.
Yeah, it is. So just for those of you who have not maybe heard us give the statistics that we mentioned before, Gottman Institute. No, Gallup.
Gallup.
Gottman is the Christian-based that does studies. And they found that less than 5% of couples end up in divorce who pray together. And then Gallup took it even a step further. Gallup is not a Christian-based organization, but they found that couples that pray together daily, less than 1% of those couples end up in divorce. So, I mean, we just, those are huge statistics that talk about, you know, ways to safeguard your marriage. So you just can't argue with those studies.
So let us conclude by reminding you that while you're in a valley, or maybe you're having some struggles right now, or you're going, this just isn't the best time in my marriage, that it's during these times that bring growth. It is these times of struggle that you find growth and strength. And it's like going to the gym. You go to the gym and you tear your muscles down so that they get bigger and stronger and you get healthier. During those rough times, it's like you're at the gym and you're going to come out stronger if you work through this together versus just either closing up or ignoring it or just walking out, mm-hmm. which doesn't fix any of those things.
Yeah, exactly. So remember, conflict brings growth. Get busy.
Okay.
Get busy fixing whatever it is that needs to be fixed, because it can be fixed.
It can
most of the time.
So if you got all the way to the end of this podcast and you're still with us, you're awesome. So thanks. Wanted to let you know, we don't have a November November workshop.
We don't. Sadly,
we do one a month.
We were supposed to be in Israel, and of course, that's not happening. So, but we will be back at it in December.
We'll be in Plainview, Texas. And we're excited about this. This is a family workshop. This is not a... Okay, well, let me rephrase this.
This is a marriage and family workshop.
We do talk marriage, but we also talk parenting, families, blended families, why marriage and family is so important. This is kind of a part two to our marriage workshop. And so you may be sitting there going, oh, I was thinking about coming to this one, but this isn't the marriage one. You will like this workshop. Come. You need to be there. If you've come to our marriage workshop and you go, I've always wanted a follow-up workshop, this is it. Plainview, Texas, December the 2nd. It'll be a Saturday. We'll start at 9. We'll finish about 3:15. They're providing childcare. The workshop is free. The church is covering everybody's expenses. Won't cost you a thing. You just need to register when registration opens on Monday. No, October 30th.
Yeah.
Monday, October 30th, registration opens.
Yeah. Okay.
So if it's past that date and you're listening to this, get on there and get registered.
Yes.
What else you got, ma'am?
That's it. Go Rangers.
Go Rangers. Beat the Diamondbacks. We won out over the Astros.
We're excited.
Yucky, gross Astros. So, yeah, all our Astro fans
out there. All our Astro fans out there, sorry.
Yeah.
But
y'all have a great week. We'll see y'all in a couple of weeks.
Bye-bye.